ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14. Lord Krishna explains the yoga system. Text number 35.
Evam pranava samyuktam. Evam pranava samyuktam. Pranam eva samabhyaset. Pranameva samabhyase. Dashakritvas trishavanam. Dashakritvas trishavanam. Masa darvagjitanila. Masa arvagjitanila. Evam pranava samyuktam. Pranam eva samabhyase. Dashakritvas trishavanam. Masa darvagjitanila. Evam pranava samyuktam. Pranameva samabhyase. Dashakritvas trishavanam. Masa darvagjitanila. Pranava samyuktam. Evam prasana samyuktam. Nadam Dashakritvastha Trishavanam. Masa Garavjitanila. Evam Pranava Samyuktam.
Matajis.
Evam pranava samyuktam. Adameva samabhyaset. Sakritvas trishavanam. Masa darvagjitanila.
Evam, thus, pranava, with the syllable om, samyuktam, joined, pranam, the pranayama system of controlling the bodily airs, eva, indeed, samabhyaset, one should carefully practice. Dashakritva, 10 times, Trishavanam, at sunrise, noon and sunset. Masat, one month. Arvak, after. Jita, one will conquer. Anila, the life heir. Translation: being fixed in the Omkar, one should carefully practice the pranayama system 10 times at each sunrise, noon and sunset. Thus, after 1 month, one will have conquered the life heir. There is no purport to this, so we'll take the next 6 verses. I'll just read the shloka and then read the translation and purport of this. Hritpundarikamantastam urdvanalam adomukam dhyatvordvamukam unnidram ashtapatram sakarnikam karnikayam nyaset surya somagnin uttarottaram vani madde smaredrupam mamaitadhyana mangalam samam prashantam sumukam dhirgacharu chaturbhujam sucharu sundara grivam sukapolam suchismitam samanakarna vinyasta suran makarakundalam hemambaram ghanashyamam shrivatsa shriniketanam shankachakra gada padma vanamala vibhushitam Nupurair vila satpadam kaustuba prabhayayutam dhumat kirita kataka kati sutranga dadyutam sarvanga sundaram hridayam prasada sumukekshanam sukumaram abhidhyaye sarvangeshu manodadat indriyan indriyartebhyo manasakarshatanmana buddhya sarathi nadhira pranayen mai sarvatah. Keeping the eyes half closed and fixed on the tip of one's nose, being enlivened and alert, one should meditate on the lotus flower situated within the heart. This lotus has 8 petals and is situated on an erect lotus stalk. One should meditate on the sun, moon and fire, placing them one after the other within the whirl of the lotus flower. Placing my transcendental form within the fire, one should meditate upon it as the auspicious goal of all meditation. That form is perfectly proportioned, gentle and cheerful. It possesses 4 beautiful long arms, a charming beautiful neck, a handsome forehead, a pure smile and glowing shark-shaped earrings suspended from 2 identical ears. That spiritual form is the color of a dark rain cloud and is garbed in golden yellowish silk. The chest of that form is the abode of Sri Vatsa and the goddess of fortune. And that form is also decorated with a conchal disc, club, lotus flower and garland of forest flowers. The 2 brilliant lotus feet are decorated with ankle bells and bracelets, and that form exhibits the Kaustubha gem along with an effulgent crown. The upper hips are beautified by a golden belt and the arms are decorated with valuable bracelets. All of the limbs of that beautiful form capture the heart, and the face is beautified by merciful glancing. Pulling the senses back from the sense objects, one should be grave and self-controlled and should use the intelligence to strongly fix the mind upon all of the limbs of my transcendental body. Thus one should meditate upon that most delicate transcendental form of mind. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Krishna here answers Uddhava's question concerning the correct procedure, nature and object of meditation for those desiring liberation.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Apadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Being fixed in the Omkara, one should carefully practice the pranayam system 10 times at each sunrise, noon and sunset. Thus, after 1 month, one will have conquered the life here. So, seek blessings of all the assembled devotees for speaking something on this exalted Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially because I didn't know this was the fate for today when I woke up. In fact, I woke up with a call, not an alarm ring, but a phone call asking that there is an emergency and we asked many devotees. Everybody is busy with something or other. So, foolishly I agreed. It is said, angels fear where fools tread. And then I realized that giving Srimad Bhagavatam class is not a joke. So request all the devotees' blessings for speaking on this most elevated subject matter. And also today is very auspicious day of the disappearance of Srila Saranga Thakur. And we'll discuss from both these aspects. So here in this particular section, especially last few days, we saw a lot of emphasis and understanding of the details of the yoga system, the Ashtanga yoga system, the chakras. Yesterday Kesha Chandpur was explaining all the different chakras that are there in our body and how each has a different purpose. And today, when we finally come, that how through the process of dhyana, meditation, one first controls his senses, controls his life here, and then just doesn't control and use it for his own enjoyment, but uses that ability to control to focus on the form of the Lord, who is in the heart. And it's always difficult to focus, like students try to focus on their studies. And it's difficult to focus because the object of meditation is very boring. You are studying, say, calculus or something, and you have to keep your eyes awake, keep your eyes open, somehow to try to focus. Because the subject matter is very difficult to comprehend. Sometimes the students, they don't even understand what the teacher is speaking. They just try to write whatever he is writing, just try to draw. But when it comes to focusing and meditating on Krishna, it is a much easier process because Krishna is Akarshani. He attracts. He is not a very dull, boring form, but a very attractive Tribhanga Rupa. And looking at the Lord, especially with the purified senses, there is no other thing that can deviate us. Therefore it is said that when Lord Ram entered Mithila, Lord Ram's form was so enchanting, so attractive, that those who looked at the hands of the Lord, they just kept looking at the hands of the Lord. They couldn't shift their focus from the hands, because the hands themselves were so enchanting, Ramaniya. Those who were looking at the feet, they just kept looking at the feet of the Lord. So in this way, each limb of the body of the Lord is so attractive. The only trouble comes is in reaching that state of fixing on the Lord's form. In other paths, reaching is a struggle and remaining there is also a struggle. But in Krishna consciousness, in the path of bhakti, once you taste that holy name, that holy form, that holy dham, then it is difficult to come out of that. Long back, there was one person here. He had asked His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj that, why should I chant so many inattentive rounds? I am not able to focus. Let me chant one attentive mantra. Many people also give this argument that, let me chant just one attentive mantra. Once let me call out nicely. Why do I have to chant for 2 hours or so many rounds? So Maharaj, he said that, yes, it is sufficient if you can chant just once attentively. But how do you know if you have chanted attentively? Is it that you have heard the whole mantra properly? Is that attention? Sometimes devotees put or they record to just to see whether I am chanting properly, whether I am hearing properly. Once I was in a vehicle going, and after the journey, the devotee next to me, he said that, Prabhuji, you have some mystic potency. Sir, what is that mystic potency? Said, I don't know, I don't have any. Said, I saw all through the journey, you are sleeping. And as you are sleeping, you are chanting. And as you are chanting, your fingers, your beads are also moving. So, usually I have seen that somebody is sleeping and maybe chanting, but not focusing attention. But here your physicality is also going. Said, that's a mistake, please correct me. Somehow the body has become like a robot. That beads are in front of you, just keep rotating them. So, Maharaj, he said that, is it just to pay attention to the syllables? The real proof that you have paid attention, you have chanted attentively, is that you taste such nectar that you can't just chant once. Like you have the Lay's advertisement, no one can just eat once. Like they say, chaska lag gaya. So, if you chant once attentively, the proof of that is that you will want to chant once more. Sometimes when we go for prasad, if we say some item is very nice, we say, Mataji, this rasgulla is really nice. Then they'll say, Prabhuji, will you like to take one more? And if you say, no, I'm good. Usually that conveys a message that, Achha laga, lekin, itna achha nahi laga, ki aur ek bar khana chata. So same with Hare Krishna, that if you chant once attentively, if you really liked it, if you really chanted attentively, then you will want to chant once more Hare Krishna. And that way, you will keep chanting 1 plus 1, 1 plus 1, 1 plus 1, and one chanting of Hare Krishna will lead to infinite chanting of Hare Krishna, attentive chanting. But unfortunate situation of us is that we are not able to reach even that one attention, one moment of attention. Same with the focusing on the Lord's form. So, the process of Bhakti Yoga compared to other yogas, it is full of hope because the Lord Himself is very much merciful to bring us back. And He gives us this, the beautiful forms of the Lord, beautiful holy name to attract us. Whereas in the other yoga systems, it is a very difficult procedure to come. And finally, after focusing all the life affairs, one finally starts to meditate on a lotus, as it is described in this, the next verses that we read, that one should then meditate on a lotus in the heart. Now we all know this story that once a hippie, he told Prabhupada that, Swamiji, when I am chanting Hare Krishna, there is a lotus, blue lotus coming in my mind. And Prabhupada said, keep chanting, it will go away. But here, we see that the yoga, on the yoga form of meditation, the verse says that one should meditate on the lotus flower situated within the heart. So there is actually a lotus flower, not in our head or speculative thinking, but actually in the heart. And then the lotus flower is not just empty. There is somebody standing on that lotus flower, the Paramatma form of the Lord, who is standing. And beautiful description is given how the Lord is wearing Makara Kundal and Kaustubha gem and forest flowers and shark shaped earrings and very merciful smile. And it is said that Paramatma has been standing there for millions of lifetimes since we have come here, waiting for us to come back. Usually our smile drains off. How long can we smile? Now there is the aerostat smile, which also is very plastic. One Shyamananda was saying that there was a man, a traveler, who entered the plane before time somehow, and they were all keep making it ready. And one air hostess was telling to the other, "Now come on, get ready. The animals are going to come in. Because for them you are just a pack of transporting beings from one place to another place. But still, as a matter of duty, they put a smile and they welcome you. They take care of you. Some of them may be genuine, but it's difficult to keep smiling. Some people say your jaws start hurting when you smile too much. But the Lord has been smilingly looking at us, never getting angry in the form of Paramatma, just waiting, standing. And usually, if you know, somebody is standing means he is really eager. Say during the end of the class, if somebody goes and stands near the door, now you will understand that he is eager to go. Maybe some other service is there, or too early wake up, you need to rest. Or we see at the bus stop. Bus stop has place to sit. But there are some who are standing. Although when the bus comes, they can always get up and go and sit in the bus. But they are standing at the bus stop because they are too eager for the bus to arrive. Or you'll see at the train station. Sometimes you are looking towards the track, towards the thing. And he said that sometimes it appears that as if the eager passenger is trying to pull the train by the power of his vision from the previous station to this station because of his eagerness, because he wants to go. So standing is a form of showing our eagerness. So same way the Lord is standing, it's been millions of years, he could sit. But he doesn't sit. He stands. And although he is standing, he is not becoming restless or worried. Usually, if you are standing for too long waiting for someone, instead, if you want to know the value of an hour, it is said, ask a lover who has been waiting for an hour. And if you want to know the value of a minute, ask a person who just missed his train by a minute. So the Lord, he is standing, but he is not getting irritated. He is also understanding that this jiva, it is his own free will. And I am not going to impose my... Yesterday Gaurangpur was giving such beautiful class on the desire of the living entity and how Krishna doesn't interfere with the desire of the living entity. And he is just willing to wait. But once we understand how much Krishna loves us and how he is there, not just if you are born in a rich family or in a human family, he is with you. In any sort of situation, he comes. Sometimes if you are invited to a very opulent place, you are very eager to go. But if you are asked to visit a village or maybe someone's house which is not very opulent, then many times it's our experience difficult to gather people because nobody is willing to come. But Krishna is always willing to accompany the living entity, that no matter where you go, I will be with you. And just like in the yoga system, the yogi meditates on the life here and how on and in different organs of the body and how he tries to raise his consciousness. A similar form exists in the bhakti mark, especially in the form of putting tilak. That when we put tilak, we are also invoking the Lord's presence in different places in the body. And therefore, we chant Om Keshavaya Namah when we put the tilak on the forehead. That we are invoking the presence of, or becoming aware of the presence that the Lord is present as Keshava on my forehead, or my forehead is supposed to be used in His service. And then we chant Om Narayanaya Namah when we chant at the belly. So the different places we start invoking the Lord's presence, that this is the Lord's property, and I should use each of these organs in the Lord's service. And different sampradayas, there are different types of tilak that is put. In the Sri Sampradaya, they put the white mark, the white, two white lines, and the red line in the middle. And the tilak that which they use, it's from the mud inside an anthill. And it's considered to be very pure. And they use that too. I don't know nowadays, but traditionally, the mud inside an anthill is used as the white tilak. And inside the anthill, there is some kind of red stone that is found. And with that red stone, the red tilak is supposed to be made. The two white lines represent the lotus feet of the Lord, just like in Gaudiya Vaishnava tilak. And then the red line represents Lakshmi Devi. And in the Madhva Sampradaya, there is the one black line which is in the middle. And it is said that because there is lot of one person did his whole PhD on different tilaks that are existing in India. Because just by the tilak you can know what type of person is he. In fact, it is said in the, one of the Puranas that person who doesn't put, who comes in front of the Lord without a tilak, that forehead is like a graveyard. Dead, because there is no presence of the concept of I am a servant of the Lord. And so in the Madhva Sampradaya, they are supposed to perform yajna every day. That is one of their main sadhana. So the yajna sister, whatever the yajna vibhuti, they put as the tilak. And then there is the dot, which also represents Lakshmi Devi. So usually that is the tilak. And in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, we use the same, the two lines represent the 2 feet of the Lord. And taking shelter of Tulsi Devi, being in the mood of servant of the servant, we put the tilak. So we invoke the presence of the Lord on our forehead through Keshavaya Namah, then Narayanaya Namah, then Madhavaya Namah on the chest, then Govindaya Namah on the neck. So this is in one of the meditation articles, they were saying that Vaishnavas, those who are in the path of bhakti, they try to invoke the Lord's presence through a conscious invoking the Lord, because the Lord is present in everywhere. And therefore, in the path of bhakti, it is much easier to meditate, focus on the Lord, because the Lord's form, Lord's pastimes, Lord's names are very attractive, very easy. Unlike the other yoga systems, where reaching is a difficult process and staying is also a difficult process. But whereas in the path of bhakti, reaching is difficult because of all the anarthas that we have. But staying is yat gatva na nivartante. Krishna says, once you are there, then there is no way you will be able to fall down. And we see in the lives of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya that they also showed that how this process of Harinam Sankirtan and worshipping the Lord can totally fix one's consciousness, and you are not worried about any other thing. We know the life of Haridas Thakur, life of Raghunath Das Goswami, where they were so absorbed in the Lord's holy name that even if there is summer heat, summer sun that was so scorching, Raghunath Das Goswami was literally undisturbed. He was just chanting the names of the Lord. And another such great Vaishnava that comes, whose disappearance day is today, is Saranga Thakur. And Saranga Thakur, he is from Mamgachi in the island of Godrundweep. We have all been there, those who have been to Mayapur, one of the very important places to visit. And Navadweep represents the nine Navavida Bhakti, nine forms of devotional service. And Godrundweep, where Saranga Thakur resided, it represents Pada Sevanam, the service attitude. The way to please the Lord is by serving the feet of the Lord or serving the Vaishnavas. And his deities were Radha Gopinath, same like ours, Radha Gopinath. And he used to, from morning, he used to beg, collect flowers, beg rice, and dress them, and fully absorbed in dressing and in the deity worship. And then in the night, he used to cross the Ganga and go and join the Harinam Sankirtan that Lord Chaitanya was doing. So this was his daily routine. Morning deity worship and night Harinam Sankirtan. We can do either one of them. But Lord, the Saranga Thakur, whole day he was busy, not just dressing the Lord, but cooking for the Lord, decorating the Lord. And there was a bakul tree near that place where he was worshipping, and it was all dried up. And because it was dried up, it was not giving enough shade. And once when Lord Chaitanya came to visit Saranga Thakur, seeing that there is no proper shade for Saranga Thakur to worship his deities, he goes and embraces this bakul tree. Something like Siddha Bakul, like Haridas Thakur. And as soon as Lord embraces, this whole bakul tree becomes again enlivened, and flowers and everything come, the leaves and everything are there. And then it is giving shade, and even till today, the tree is quite a lush tree and spread quite, gives quite good shade. Of course, now there is a proper temple also that is made for the deities of Radha Gopinath. And and Saranga Thakur, because he was so much always busy in serving the deities and chanting the holy names, he had no other interest in anything else. Even to the extent that he didn't want to accept any disciples, because taking disciples is a responsibility, it will not allow, and he also felt himself very unqualified to take any disciples. So it said that he took a vow that I will not accept any disciples. But Lord Chaitanya, he was constantly requesting Saranga Thakur that you should accept disciples, you should train, you should continue your legacy. And once after the Lord's request, he said that, okay, tomorrow I'll initiate the first person that I meet. And then he goes to take bath in the Ganga,
and then someone touches him. And when he looks, who is touching him, he sees a dead body of a young boy. And then because he has taken the vow, some versions of this say that Lord Chaitanya was also present there that time. Some versions say he was not present. And Saranga Thakur, Lord Chaitanya told him, chant the mantra in his ears. The mantra which you are chanting, chant the mantra in his ears. And Saranga Thakur chants the mantra in the ears of this boy. And the boy awakens. He comes back from the dead alive. And then immediately surrenders at the lotus feet of Saranga Thakur. And accepts him as a spiritual master and says, please keep me at your lotus feet and engage me in your service. And he accepts him as a disciple. And he is with him. And the meanwhile, the parents of this boy, dead boy, they got to know that their son is now alive. And a day before or in the morning, that son of theirs, a snake had bitten. A deadly snake has bitten, and because of the snake bite, the son had died. And because the son was not married yet, so therefore it was said that he could not be cremated. Or he could not be burnt. And the best thing was to give him Ganga, to float him in the Ganga. So they kept him on a banana branch, a small place made with banana branches, and then they made him a float on the Ganga. But as soon as the parents get to know that their son is alive, they immediately come to take the son. And the son says that, for you I was dead, you had already did all the samskar, dahana samskar, everything, and you, alvida, that you had already, what do you call?
Bid goodbye.
And I was only alive by the mercy of my spiritual master, and therefore I am the property of my guru. And I don't want to do anything else but serve my spiritual master. And he was named as Murari. And because of this disciple Murari, even Saranga Thakur was known after Murari, and his name became Saranga Murari Thakur, after the disciple whom he made him alive. And that place where he found this Murari's dead body, that place, that village is till today called as Shava. Shava means dead body, and that village is still today called as Shava. And so that's the glory of Saranga Thakur, and this is the role of a spiritual master, that spiritually we are dead, and by contact with him, by the wisdom, by the transcendental sound vibration that emanates from his lotus mouth, the disciples become spiritually alive. Else we are all dead. Materially we are going to die, spiritually we are already dead. So therefore Saranga Thakur is a very good meditation on how a spiritual master awakens his disciple and then engages him in his service. And he said in the Vrindavan Leela, in the Vraj Leela, Saranga Thakur is Nandimukhi. Nandimukhi is the daughter of Paurnamasi. Granddaughter of Paurnamasi is the daughter of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni, as you know, is the guru of Krishna Balaram. So even Sandipani Muni his family was in Avanti Desh, but they had moved for a while to Vrindavan. And that's how Madhu Mangal is the son of Sandipani Muni. He always used to say that, I am the son of a Brahmana. So that Brahmana is Sandipani Muni, and the daughter is Nandimukhi. And she, this famous verse which we always hear, that which says that this gopis, this all these gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, they are meditating. I mean, Uddhava came and saw, they were all meditating. So he felt good that yes, they are all meditating on Krishna. But it was Nandimukhi who tells that just see how wonderful it is. Great sages meditate upon Krishna after being relieved from all material transactions, and with great difficulty they try to situate Krishna in their hearts. Visually, this is what great sages do. And opposed to this, this young girl is trying to withdraw her mind from Krishna so that she can apply it in the material activities of sense gratification. But Srimati Radharani, she is trying to remove her consciousness, her attraction, away from Krishna. And she is kind of accusing that it is to engage in activities of sense gratification. What a regrettable thing it is that this girl is trying to drive away from heart that same Krishna who is sought after by great sages through severe austerities and perseverance. So, this comes in the Vidagdha Madhav. It's all just today morning I was just searching who is this Nandimukhi and what is her role. So her mother is Sumukhi Devi, the wife of Sandipani Muni, and brother is Madhu Mangal, grandmother is Paurnamasi. And quite interesting name, Nandi means bull and Mukhi means face. So her name was literally bull-faced. Usually, she's a girl. So a girl is named as bull-faced. And the acharyas say that because she was older in age, she was elder to other gopis, but still she used to partake in all the different pastimes. Therefore, she was lovingly given this name by everyone as Nandimukhi, a bull-faced gopi. And so this is something about Saranga Thakur. And to conclude, recently I was come across a beautiful verse telling about six unique aspects of Krishna's beauty, how Krishna's beauty, the form of his Lord, has six excellences. And this verse is spoken by the gopis, and it says the first excellence of Krishna, beauty of Krishna, is Lavanya Saram, that is the essence of all loveliness, that his face and every form of is the essence of all loveliness. That is one aspect of his beauty. Second is Asamordvam, is unequaled. Even the beauty of Narayan in Vaikuntha is not compared to Krishna's beauty in Vrindavan. Therefore, is Asamordvam. Third of his beauty is Ananya Siddham, that it doesn't require anything else for him to become beautiful. We may apply all these different makeup lotions and Fair and Lovely, but Krishna doesn't need anything else to make himself. He is self-perfect. His beauty is not from any other source. And fourth is that it is Dhrigbi Pibanti Anuswabhavinam, that it is ever fresh. Just looking at Lord Krishna's form is very satisfying to the heart, and it is ever fresh. Fifth is Durapam, very difficult to obtain, very difficult to see this form of the Lord, not accessible by any other than following in the footsteps of the gopis, in the form of unalloyed bhakti. And sixth is that Ekanta Dhama Yashasa, Shriya Aishwaryasa, that loveliness is the only abode of all beauty, fame and opulence, that this is the one source from which all beauty, all opulence, all fame emanates. So this is the six aspects of Krishna's beauty. So let us all try to reach that one attentive, meditative chanting of Hare Krishna, that one attentive fixing of our consciousness on the Lord's form. And if you are able to do that, because the Lord is very attractive, supremely attractive, then we won't be deviated by any other distractions that are there in this world. So I'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.